Hello and welcome to Boring Conversations. I'm your host, Valerie King, multimedia editor with The Driller. Today, I am joined by Dale Scheffler. Thanks for joining me, Dale.
Well, thanks for having me, Valerie.
Now, Dale is the owner and president of DJ Scheffler & Nye, based in Pomona, California. And Dale started the business as DJ Scheffler Construction in 1979, then added drilling to the portfolio in 1985. Today, the business provides foundation, environmental, and geotechnical drilling and shoring services to private and public sector customers. They are across the Western United States, including Hawaii. Now, Dale, I read that before doing this, you were in the business of installing residential pools and that a particular project inspired you to pursue drilling. Is that the case? And if so, can you share more about that story and really just your shift to the drilling industry? How'd that happen?
Well, you know, right out of high school, I joined the Cement Masons and worked for a company doing concrete work. And within weeks, I started doing side job. And by the time I got through my apprenticeship, I was already doing 25, 30 jobs a year, just doing patios and driveways. And then once I got done with the apprenticeship, I decided to go into business for myself. I was about 22 years old, and I've been self-employed since then. So making and scraping and scrapping to build a concrete company, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed doing that. And we made it, and we worked for about 10 years doing foundations and other concrete work. But one of my clients was Benson Ford from the Ford Motor Company and his partner, Lou Fuentes. And they had projects that had deep foundations, which I had never seen before. We had to have a drill rig drilled 60 foot deep, 36 inch diameter, put steel and concrete in the shaft to be able to build those foundations. And I was excited to see that. And the client wanted me to do a design build for a shooting range that we were putting underground under a garage. And so they introduced me to the geologist who was going to perform the work. And then I got to see how the geologist would drill and do an exploration of the soils and go through the process of bringing it to the lab and then coming up with what we would be able to design the foundations with. So I was involved in that and I was very intrigued by it. And my very first job was around other drillers who were performing the work. And so as I developed my work, I started doing more work with drilled piles. And as I would do these projects, I really didn't make enough money because the drilling companies always had a way to get extra money out of me. So at some point I got frustrated and we were building a house in Diamond Bar that has 66 piles in it. And it was difficult to do on a hillside. And some of the contractors that came in wanted to dig them by hand. And so I let them do that. And the geologist who was there, Harry Lawrence in the old days, he said, "Hey, I got a better way." And so we ended up utilizing this drill rig that he and a couple other guys owned that was a homemade rig that was made just for hillsides. So that was my dream, was to buy that rig. It took me about 6 months to save money, write down a plan, and come up with a way that I can start implementing foundation drilling into my concrete business. So I finally got started doing that. And, you know, I had to borrow money and get a co-signer, a doctor friend of mine, co-signed a $45,000 loan for me and with Security Pacific Bank in those days. And man, I had like $3,000 a month payments to take care of. And I hadn't had any more than a $60 car payment before that. So I had to get going. And I was relying on people to provide work to me, such as the guy who I bought the rig from and the geologist who used to own the rig. I probably didn't say that earlier, but he was a half owner in this particular drill rig that I bought. And then after we bought that rig and started working on it, I had never drilled a hole in my life. I just watched these guys and I watched how they worked, and I got on the rig and figured it out and got through my first job, you know, successfully. And then there was lots of things that we needed to do to that drill rig. So I found the original inventor, and he and I worked together for many years. His name is Bill Jarrett. Jarrett is a big name in the industry, mostly out of Sacramento, but was one of the bigger companies that worked up and down the West Coast, including the pipeline in Alaska. A lot of guys worked for them at that time back in the 70s and so forth. But there was another gentleman early on when I first got started, when I was trying to figure out how these caissons work or how these drilled shafts work, I went to a fellow by the name of Howard Potter. He'd been in the industry for 30 plus years, doing soil sampling and small foundations on hillsides. And if it hadn't been for him, I probably would have never made it. If it hadn't been for him and my grandmother supporting me through the first year, I definitely wouldn't have been able to make it. It's tough to get started. So you need to have enough money behind you to get started to at least get through your first year. And then I got involved in going to, I joined an association called the ADSC. And with the ADSC, they offered lots of educational programs. They were just getting started. They were 22 years, maybe, or 10 years since they had first started the association. And all the owners of all these big drilling companies would go to these meetings. And so all the decisions that were made about what the ADSC was going to be doing was decided amongst all the drillers in the industry, the main drillers in the industry, all the drillers in the industry, small, anywhere from the little mom and pop guys to the biggest guys in the industry. And so we all worked together to develop a way to promote our industry and to teach ourselves and each other how to do the work as best we can and as safe as we can. And that was the most important thing to me, because I've been praying ever since the first day I got in this business that no one gets hurt. And it's one of the most riskiest businesses that you can be in.
So you have quite the list of landmark projects, from the Rose Bowl Stadium to the Grand Canyon Skywalk. What project would you consider the coolest to have completed and why?
Well, the coolest one still today is probably the one that's most recognized by people that come up to us and say, wow, you did the Grand Canyon Skywalk? Yeah, we did. We helped with the value engineering the work. After we got the job, we didn't want to spend a long time drilling a 54-inch diameter hole in 21,000 PSI rock. And the only way that you could do that was with pneumatic tools. And having a 54-inch diameter shaft and a pneumatic tool for that was just barely starting to come into our industry. But if you would put that much percussion 4 feet off the edge of the rock and the face drops 3,000 feet, you got a chance that you might destroy all that rock. So we didn't even try to go there. We were looking at conventional drilling. And then we said to the client, especially with the client being Wallapai tribe, they believe that the river is their father and that the land is their mother. And they don't want you to even pick up a rock to take home with you because that's sacred to them. So one of the things that I suggested was that we change the pile from a large diameter pile to micropiles, which are much easier to manage on this job. And we knew that we could get in and out of it because we were able to use small diameter percussion tools with downhole hammers. So that got us in and out of the job. If I had sat there for, we would have sat there for so long to try to drill conventionally through 21,000 PSI rock. I thought that rock was sandstone. It looks like sandstone, but they call it limestone. But who am I? I'm just a practical applicator. After we were awarded the job is when we came back to them and said, hey, we can get done quicker and more assuredly that we can be done by using micropiles. And guess what? It's going to save you $500,000. So guess I can take $500,000 off my contract if you let me do it this way. And so then we talked with the engineer and I had my engineer work on developing what could replace that 54-inch diameter shaft and use micropiles. So we used a cluster of micropiles that were 6 inches diameter that was very easy to drill to 40 feet and then grout them up with steel.
I understand at this point you guys are completing over 150 projects per year. Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. So how has project volume evolved since you started the business?
In the first 10 years, we didn't get any repeat business. But after the first 10 years, we started getting a lot of repeat business. And I think that it just takes time for people to realize what we can do. And as we prove what we can do, word travels and then people start hearing about us and, oh yeah, we've used them. They were good the first time. So let's try them again. But you can't get repeat business for at least 6 to 8, maybe 10 years in this business. In fact, there's a lot of guys in this industry that will burn a bridge with a client because they know that they're only going to experience this once in their life. So, but I've always wanted to be honest, and I've always wanted to charge up front and get paid for what we say the project's going to cost. So we try to take the risk out of the client, where what I mean by that is in our industry, many of the contractors would say, you're going to have to pay the drilling contractor separately because they're shoring up this, that's too much risk for us, or they're going to be drilling these deep shafts, that's too risky for us, we don't want anything to do with it. Nowadays, the industry has evolved enough to where guys do bid work without talking to us drillers. But in the old days, they'd have to call us and find out how to do the work. And then you spend enough time talking to them, they would realize that I was honest, and they realized that I gave them information that others might not have. And that's how we would get our work. And so our reputation has always been to be honest and get the job done. If we don't think we can do it, we recommend other companies. And in the very beginning, that's what we had to do all the time because we only had one drill rig. One drill rig can't do every job, although we wish that could happen. I own 25 to 30 drill rigs just so that I have the right drill for the right job. And of course, I got started before I was married, so I was able to reinvest everything back into the company. So, and Mark Nye, my partner, you know, he had a truck when he first came to work for me. He banged it all up on one of the jobs, and he never asked for a new one. I kept saying, you want us to put money on a down payment for a drill rig? You want a new truck? He always said, ah, just go get the new truck, or get the new drill rig.
That's so funny.
He was always loyal and helpful that way, and he still is that way. He's about the best partner anybody could have.
With the kind of work that your crews do, a safety program is obviously critical. Can you highlight some of the philosophy that you have about safety and your approach when it comes to safety?
Well, safety is my biggest concern. Like I said earlier, the day I started this business, I prayed every day that nobody would get hurt because it happens. And we've had injuries, and they're truly accidents. We try not to have accidents. The more you have experience around the work, the less accidents you have. And obviously, when you first get started, you have people that come to work for you that you're not quite sure of yet. And then they get into an accident with their back or whatever. And those anybody getting hurt just bothers me. And so I don't want to be a responsible, I don't want to have a company that I felt that we did something that hurt somebody. And if I ever had that happen where it wasn't truly an accident and it was because of me, I wouldn't have been able to stay in this business. Obviously, when you're in a business like this for 37 years, we've had some accidents, unfortunately. But I do pray that we stay away from them, and we do all that we can to educate our people by going to 3 or 4 company meetings a year, all about safety, total safety, covering all the different aspects of safety. Now, when you talk about safety, you talk about OSHA, and OSHA has a book about that thick. And none of us can remember everything that the OSHA laws say, so we have to continually talk to our people and keep telling them. Like every time I walk on a job site, I have an eye for things, and I'll tell them about something that I think could be a little safer. They probably don't like that about me, but that's my job. I can see those things, and I just let them know. And then they comply. Our guys comply, and they comply with the inspectors too. And whoever comes from the OSHA to the job, you know, we have to put out a notice every time we go to do a job because we're shoring the ground. Even in a drilled shaft, we're shoring the ground. And OSHA says that we have to notify them for each job that we go to where we have shoring. So consequently, every job we do, we send a note to the OSHA office, the local OSHA office, so that they have the opportunity to come by and see how we're doing. So OSHA does move around and they go to different job sites, but they usually just react to complaints. They don't usually go out looking for problems because they're already busy looking at the problems that they're being called out on. But we work closely with them to show them and get approval from them on how we cover our holes, for instance. The way that we cover the holes, the method in which we do it, complies with the rules and regulations of OSHA. And we had to get that approved before we got started in the business. And that took me a few months before I got started. So that was one of the difficult things when I first got started, was to be able to have an employee safety plan and to be able to get the insurance for this industry and to prove that we had the ability to do the work.
Thanks, Dale. Your business has no doubt grown significantly since its inception, from customer base to employees to equipment to capabilities. So if you had to name maybe one or two, at most three keys to success so far, what would those three keys to success or less be?
Stay the course. You know, I haven't changed since the day I started. The ideas that I had for the company were still implementing. Just waking up every day with the same enthusiasm for the work, just committing yourself to doing the right work. And without the people, you can't do anything. People are more valuable than their equipment. In fact, because we're a non-union company, we got to make sure we keep our people working. And thank God we found a balance for 25 years to keep 50 people working here, 50 families who depend on their parent or their father or mother who work here. So for me, that's very important. And just making sure that we train our people for safety and to train our people to operate the equipment properly. That's probably the most important part of our business as far as being able to stay in business. How do we find our work? Well, like I said, all of our work has been word of mouth. If it hadn't been for the old timer, Howard Potter, who turned work on to me, I probably wouldn't have gained as many clients as I did. The more clients you work for, the more work you do that's good work, the more your chances you have of them recommending you to somebody else. And a lot of the work that we do is residential, but a lot of the people in the residential area, especially Bel Air, Beverly Hills, in those areas where we did a lot of big work for single family homes, mansions, those people owned industry. So they liked us there, that they would invite us to come help them build their factory buildings. So that's how we started evolving into doing more commercial work. And then eventually we got into doing work for like Caltrans. But the only reason why we did that was because there were special jobs that I had an interest in. We never have gone after a job because we had to do it. We've always go after work that we want to do. And we've been blessed with that.
Last question, what sources do you turn to for inspiration and education as you help guide this business forward?
My inspiration has always been family. I've always worked for my family since I was a kid, and I like the responsibility, so it's a second nature to me. And knowing that I wanted to have a family eventually, I wanted to build a company that I could rely on. And before I got married, I wanted to make sure that I was comfortable in the industry, that we were successful, and that we had something to move forward with so that I could support my family. So my family has been my biggest inspiration. And just trying to do good for people, trying to prove that a good guy doesn't always finish last, that, you know, our intentions are to do the right thing all the time. And that's what I teach our people, and that's what they do. When we walk away from the job site, it's cleaner than it was when we got there. I was a janitor for a long time as a kid, so I guess I learned how to clean up the jobs real good. so I teach that to my people, and you know what? That's part of what brings us back with our customers, is that, I mean, we do little things like when we're blocking the road, we take the neighbor's trash out because it's trash day, you know? We work around residential homes all the time. So we have to keep our language down and be polite, you know. We have a very special group of people. together we're special, and individually they're special too. But the way that this company has developed and grown, we are a very special group within our industry. And a lot of the industry knows that about us, and I'm proud of that. And I couldn't have done it without everyone here who has made this company. I wake up every morning to go to work for the people in this company. I've done everything I've ever wanted to do, thank God, and I've had fun at it. But my drive today is to keep families together and to keep this company together so that everybody can depend on us together.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for your time and insight, Dale. Before we go, where can our listeners connect with you or learn more about DJ Scheffler and I?
Well, of course, our website is djscheffler.com. And you can always email me at dale@djscheffler.com. That's D-A-L-E. djscheffler.com. And then I'm an open book. So if there's any questions you have about the industry, I'd be glad to help you. Whether you're a client or whether you're another contractor.
Great. Thanks again, Dale. That closes our Q&A. Listeners, for more drilling industry insights, visit our website, thedriller.com, where you'll also find more episodes of the show. Just search Boring Conversations and hit subscribe. Until next time, this is Boring Conversations. Thank you for listening.